you glad that you're part of the family of God? We've been singing a lot of the different songs this morning about having God as our Father. And I didn't tell Brother Ed what we were going to be going through this morning through the Word of God. But the Lord put on His heart some songs that talked about our relationship with Him as our Father. And that's what we're going to be considering this morning. What does it really mean to be a part of the family of God? What does it really mean to be a part of the family of God? You know, to be part of another family might mean different things to different people. Sometimes a family might have different traditions. One of my close friends growing up, his name was Brad Kadlicek, and having that kind of a name, Kadlicek, shows their heritage. He actually had a Czechoslovakian heritage. His grandparents on both sides, mom and dad, came over from the old country. And from time to time, they actually lived there with him. From time to time, they would invite me over to have dinner with them or spend the night. And I would go there and I would meet his grandparents, who didn't speak much English at all. They were still Czech through and through. But sometimes they would invite me over to an occasional special day or special dinner, whether it was for Christmas or Easter, and our family would come as well. But being from a Czechoslovakian heritage, they had a little different tradition, a little different way of celebrating Christmas and Easter, different things like that. And so when I became a part of their family for that day, I had to participate the way they did things. So being a part of one family, you might have one set of traditions. Being a part of another family means you have totally different traditions. But I had the privilege of sharing with them the tradition that they had. Sometimes a family even might have different goals. Think about what it would mean if you were born into a missionary family. For example, the Hegdal family. They have 8 little additions to the Hegdal family over in India. Can you imagine if they had a choice, those kids? Would they choose to be born of that family and have those goals and be living there in India? I don't know if I would have made, if I had that choice. But they didn't have a choice. But being born into the Hegdal family means that you're going to have the same goals as your parents. It means you will be a missionary as well. It means you're going to live in a foreign country as well. You're going to have the ups and downs of living life in India as well. But they're a family. And they share in the family goal, even though they didn't have any choice in it. And that is to reach the lost in India. Sometimes a family might have different responsibilities. Again, 2 young men that really didn't have any choice in the matter of who they were born to. Prince William and Prince Harry were born into the British royal family. They didn't have that choice, but as soon as they were born into that royal family, they inherited great privilege. Great privilege. They pretty much had their lives set for them. They're not going to have to worry too much about, especially the oldest, too much about what he's going to have to do, what kind of money he's going to have to make. Probably has a palace already in their name. But with that privilege came great responsibility as well. Their privilege that they share in was all because of the family they were born in. To be a part of another family means different things to different people. Someone once told me that there are different strokes for different folks. Different things for different people. But there is one thing that every family has in common, and that is sharing. Sharing. If you have a different tradition in your family, it makes that tradition special because it is your family tradition. Your family shares in that tradition. Your family might have different goals than my family or the family over in India, the Hegdals. But the nice thing about that family is that that family shares those goals together. Perhaps you have different responsibilities in your family than others. But that's the nice thing about having a family is that there is a sharing of those goals and a sharing of those responsibilities. There is one thing that every family has in common, and that is sharing. So what does it really mean to be a part of the family of God? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, which will be the text that we take from God's Word, tells us what it means to be a part of the family of God. It means that you enter into a family that shares. It means that you share with other members of that family, other Christians, other believers. Like the early church did, if you remember Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says concerning that early church that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And it goes on in that passage and says how those that early church held things common. In other words, they put everything that they had into a big basket, and if someone had a need for clothes, they would give them those clothes. If someone had a need for money, they would give them that money. They became a part of a family that shared not only physical things, but spiritual things. They shared in the most important of things. But is that all that it means to be a part of the family of God? Is it just mean sharing with each other and sharing with other members of your Christian family? Does it just mean coming together like we did last night for a Valentine's banquet and enjoying a meal together and sitting around the Word of God and having a little bit of fun together? Is that all that that means to share as a part of the family of God? As we'll see in our text, it also means sharing certain things with not only each other, but with the Son of God, with Jesus Christ Himself. This passage this morning tells us what you share with the Lord Jesus as part of the family of God. You see, we do share a lot of things as a people of God, but more importantly, if you are a part of the family of God, you share some wonderful traits with your Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ Himself. And the family that we are born into, born again into, is a family of great privilege and responsibility. It is a greater family than the family of the royal family where Prince William and Prince Harry was born into. It was a greater privilege that you and I were born into this family. And we have a greater privilege to share in some things with our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes sharing is not a very popular topic, especially for children. You tell kids that they have to share something that they really, really like. Sometimes you might get this look at you, and they'll look at you funny, and they'll say, "You know what? No, that's mine. That's mine. That's not yours." But what about for adults? Sometimes sharing can be just as hard for adults, can it? No, what's mine is mine. I earned that. I worked hard for that. I spent a lot of time and energy and money for that. That's mine. It's not going to be anybody else's. But when you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says, "What's mine is yours." Jesus says, "What's mine is yours." So what does it really mean to be a part of the family of God? What do we share in with our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's read beginning of verse 10 of Hebrews 2. "For it became Him," referring to God the Father, "for it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one," or are all of one family, "for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." What does it really mean to be a part of the family of God? It means that we share things with our Savior, Jesus Christ. It means, first of all, that we share the same relationship as Jesus. We share, first of all, the same relationship as Jesus. Look at verse 10, the first part, again. "For it became Him," referring to God the Father. And then it gives a little description of who God the Father is. It says, "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things." In other words, referring to God the Father, everything that is in existence has been produced for Him. It is for His glory, for His purposes. But also, it was by whom are all things. He's the one that did it all. He's the one that produced everything for Himself. But then He says, "It became Him in bringing many sons unto glory." We share the same relationship as Jesus. What is this relationship like? When you are a part of the family of God, you become a child of God. A child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. You become a child of God. You become His son or His daughter. Just as a child is born into a family and becomes a part of that family, whatever that heritage or whatever that family's goal is, they become a part of that family. In fact, you can go on the internet or you can open up the newspaper every day and see a listing of births in the local hospital. Oh, and how proud parents are when a child is born. And how much more proud a grandparent is when their grandchild is born. The announcements go forth. They want to bring the baby into church as soon as they possibly can to be able to share it with other people. They want to dedicate it to the service of the Lord. They want to let everybody know that this new child has been born. And so it is when you have been born into the family of God. you are a special and prized person to Him. When you are born again, you become a part of God's family. You become and belong to Him as His child, as His son, or as His daughter. And as such, you share a similar relationship as Jesus does with His Father. You share a similar relationship as Jesus. And Jesus says, what's mine is yours. Jesus says, my Father is your Father. Jesus says to you as a Christian, my relationship with my Father is your relationship now with your Father. This relationship that we share with Christ is similar, but different. You see, Jesus is the Son of God by nature. He is the only begotten of the Father. He enjoys a peculiar and different relationship, yet He is still considered a son. We, however, are sons by God's grace. God, in His grace, sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten, in order to gather together a family so that we can be sons and daughters as well. We are sons by grace, but we're still sons of God. And we have the privilege of sharing a similar relationship as Jesus does with the Heavenly Father, the one by whom are all things and for whom are all things. So how do you become a son of God? How do you become a child of God and share this relationship with Jesus Christ? Look back to verse 9 that we looked at last week. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. How can you become a child of God? First, Jesus had to taste death for you, says in verse 9, that by the grace of God, Jesus should taste death for every man. He had to taste death for you. If God did not send His Son, we could not be the sons of God. But secondly, you also have to see Jesus. Not only did Jesus have to taste death for you, but you have to see Him. You have to trust in Him. You have to believe in Him alone for salvation, believing that He experienced that death for you and paid it all. He paid all the penalties of your sin. And once that happens, you have the privilege of sharing the same relationship as Jesus. You, in fact, can become a son of God. And when you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says to you, what's mine is yours. And we can share the same relationship as sons of God. But what else do we share? Not only do we share the same relationship as Jesus, but secondly, we also share the same path as Jesus. We share the same path as Jesus. In verse 10, it goes on of Hebrews 2. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, and look at this next phrase, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. To make the captain, referring to Jesus Christ, the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We share the same path as Jesus. What is this path like? When you are a part of the family of God, you share and will share in the sufferings of Jesus. You will share a similar path as Jesus walked. Jesus says, my path is your path. What's mine is yours. And the path of Christ, as we see in this verse, was a path of suffering. This path that we share is the same, but a little different. For example, every once in a while, my kids will want to go for a walk. And instead of taking them for a walk, because after all, you walk for a little while, the kids get all whiny and want you to carry them. So instead of having to carry them the rest of the way home, I'll bring the wagon. So they can walk as far as they want to walk, and then they get tired and bored. Then they can hop in the wagon. I'll just pull them in the wagon so I don't have to cart them on my back. That's right. But we're going down the same path, right? We're going down the same path, but it's a little different. I'm walking on my feet, and they're riding in the back. We need to understand that, yes, the path that Jesus Christ calls us to share in is a path of suffering. Yet it is the same, but different. He is the captain of our salvation. The word captain there can also be translated the pioneer. He's the one that goes on before us. And yet we will follow the same path of suffering. Yet He is the one that will carry us through. This is the path that we share. It is same, but different. Jesus is the captain of our salvation, the pioneer. He goes before us in all things so that we can follow Him and share with Him. If Jesus did not suffer before us, we could not ever be a part of His family. If God never sent His Son into this world to gather unto Himself another family with sons and daughters multiplied and countless, including you and me, If Jesus Christ had never tasted death, you and I would never be considered the sons and daughters of God. But if we do not share in His suffering, we also could never be a part of the family of God. Does this mean that you will experience the same sufferings that Jesus experienced? Being whipped by a cat of nine tails? Being crucified on a cross? No. But I want you to know that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have followed after Him in His suffering. Because He suffered for you. He suffered on your behalf and in your place. And when you put your faith and trust in Him, you may not experience any physical or mental or emotional suffering for being a Christian. And we have some benefits and advantages here in this country. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, He has suffered for you, and in a sense, you have suffered with Him already. And if you have never suffered with Him, if you've never trusted in Him, you are not considered part of His family, and you don't share these things. But once you do, once you become a part of His family, His sufferings become your sufferings. And you will walk this life, and there will be sufferings that come your way, and you will be able to consider it as not just a time of turmoil, but a time of blessing. The Scripture says that Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer, but then to go on to glory. And we need to understand that the glory that is to follow is greater than the sufferings of this age. And if we follow after the suffering of Christ, it shows that we are part of His family. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who is going on before. He is the one that is carrying us along in the wagon. And we, if we're going to follow after Him in His sufferings, must be loyal followers. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Christ also suffered for us, on our behalf, in our place. But He also did it, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Have you ever read that book, In His Steps, by Charles Sheldon? Where everybody in that church decided before they would do anything or make any decision, they would ask the question, "What would Jesus do?" And that they decided, no matter what the suffering would be, no matter what the problem would be, no matter what concern they would have, no matter what people would say about them, they would consider what Jesus would do, and they would follow after His steps. That is what we need to understand. When we share the same path as Jesus, we need to follow Him as He did, follow His example. But what is this path for, this path of suffering? It goes on in verse 10 and says that the Father made the captain of their salvation perfect. Perfect. That word here in this context does not mean that there was any imperfection or anything lacking in Jesus' nature. There wasn't anything wrong with Jesus' character. It doesn't mean that His work was needed a little extra in order to be the best that He could be. But rather, this word perfect means to achieve the highest end, to achieve the highest goal. You see, God the Father had a plan. God the Father had a plan in place before He ever created this world. And this plan that He had in place was to send His only begotten Son into this world in order to gather unto Himself a new family with sons and daughters, including you and including me. And in order to do that, He had to send His Son. And if His Son did not come, it would never have been perfect. It would have never been completed. His goal and His aim would have never been fulfilled. But when God sent His Son as a captain of our salvation, He made Him perfect through His suffering, which meant it achieved God's final purpose. In fact, this word perfect here comes from the same word finished. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Doesn't mean that anything was lacking or imperfect in Christ and His work. But what it does mean is that when Jesus said it was finished, His suffering had ended. Our suffering has ended. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. It means that what Jesus came to accomplish, He completed completely. And through His own sufferings, He paved the way for you and me to become part of the family of God. Because of what this means, we can share with Him. When you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says, "What's mine is yours." And we share the same path, the path of Christ's suffering. Not just the agonies, but also the great blessings that follow. We share the same path. But third, We also share the same character as Jesus. When you become a part of the family of God, you share the same character as Jesus. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Or as the New International Version states, of one family. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one family. What is the character of Jesus like? When you are a part of the family of God, you become sanctified, as it says here in the King James. You become holy. You become purified when you become a child of God. In other words, you share a similar character as Jesus, your Savior, who also himself is sanctified, who is pure, holy, and blameless. Jesus says to you as his child, what's mine is yours. He has no problem sharing his character. He has no problem sharing his holiness and his nature with you. Jesus says, my character, child of God, is your character. Jesus says that the character that he has is now the character that you possess. The character of Christ is holiness. And this character that we share is the same but different. You see, it says that both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. There's two different words there, two different descriptions. There's one person that sanctifies, and there's another person who is being sanctified. Jesus is the one who is doing the sanctification. He is the one who is making people holy. How can he do that? Because he himself is holy. In fact, another place in the Bible, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You can only make something that belongs to you. He can only make holy if he was holy. Jesus is the one doing the work of sanctification, but we are the work of sanctification. We are the ones being sanctified. We are the ones being made pure and being made holy. He is molding you and making you as a child of God. He's giving you the character that he himself possesses. Isn't that a blessing to know? Isn't it a blessing to know that the one who is sanctified is now in the process of calling his children together to make them holy and separate unto the use of God? So what is this character for? Sanctified. Holy means to be made holy or to be separate. To be separated for the exclusive use of God. That's why Jesus was the one who sanctified. He was set apart by God his Father into the plan that God had for him so that he could set others apart for his use as well. That is what it means to be holy. That is what it means to be a saint. You know, the Roman Catholics saint people so that they can be somebody special or blessed. But the Bible calls all of you who are part of the family of God, calls all of you to be saints. And as a saint, it simply means that you are set apart for the purpose that God has. No longer do you belong to the world. You belong to Him. No longer is your purpose for yourself. Your purpose is for Him. It means to be separated for the exclusive use of God. Every once in a while when I'm at work there at the bank, I'm going to find an unusual coin in the money that comes through my drawer. From time to time, I'll go through quarters and I'll find an old silver quarter, something 1964 or earlier. So I have a special place, a special canister there in my drawer, and I'm going to plop anything silver in there. What I'm doing is I'm taking it out of that ordinary money and I'm separating it so that eventually when I get a little extra cash, I'll buy that for myself and save it. I'm a little bit of a coin collector. That silver is worth more than just 25 cents. But that is what the Lord does through Christ. You now, as a child of God, share in His own character. And part of that character is Him separating you from who you once were, and He is separating you now unto Himself for His use and for His purpose. That is what it means to be made holy. You see, before you became a part of the family of God, you could only be a vessel of dishonor. Before you became a part of the family of God, as it says in Romans, you could have only been a vessel of dishonor. You could have been used by God, but it would have been not according to your blessing and your benefit, that's for sure. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and tonight we're going to be looking at the name Cyrus. Cyrus was a king of Persia that God prophesied by name hundreds of years before he actually entered into the scene. Cyrus was not a believing person. He was not a Christian. He was not a God-fearing man. And yet God used him by his providence in order to fulfill his promises to his people. Cyrus was a vessel used by God, but it was a vessel of dishonor. And if you are not part of the family of God, God will still use you, but you will be used as a vessel of dishonor. But now that you share the same character as Jesus, as a child of God, you can be a vessel of honor. A vessel that is used by God and to be a blessing for you, something that will benefit you, something where you will be able to glorify God in every way. And you'll be able to see Him someday. You can share the same character of Jesus and be a vessel of honor. When you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says to you, what's mine is yours. Holiness. And that is the character that we share. The character of holiness and usefulness for the Lord. There's a fourth thing that we see in this passage that we share as part of the family of God. We share the same brotherhood as Jesus. We share the same brotherhood, the same relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 11 again. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one family. For which cause he, referring to Jesus Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. For which cause he, Jesus Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren. What is this brotherhood like? We share the same brotherhood as Jesus. When you are part of the family of God, you actually become a brother to Christ. Now, we would be rather presumptuous if we came to the Bible and it wasn't revealed to us in this way, and we said, okay, I'm Christ's brother now. We would be presumptuous to make that statement, but we can make that statement. We can make it confidently, with great assurance, but also with great blessing and with great rejoicing, because it is Jesus who calls you His brother and His sister, His brethren in Christ. What a blessing that is. What a great family. What a great brotherhood we have. You share Jesus as your brother. And Jesus says, what's mine is yours. Jesus says that because I am God's Son, and because you are God's Son, I am not ashamed to call you my brother. When we think about our brothers and our siblings, our relationships with our brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't have the type of relationship that we wish we did with our brothers and our sisters and our siblings. We wish that we had the same kind of relationship that we had when we were in grade school together, and it seemed like we were doing everything together, having fun, playing, enjoying. Sure, every once in a while the guys would beat each other up, but we did it because we loved each other, right? But I've got to tell you, when you have Christ as your brother, and when you are the brother of Christ, there is no closer, no more intimate relationship than you can ever have. The original recipients of the book of Hebrews knew rejection. In fact, you don't need to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, the writer of Hebrews says to who he's writing to, he says, call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, in other words, after you were saved, you endured a great fight of afflictions. The writer of Hebrews knew that the people that he was writing to had suffered great persecution and affliction. They knew rejection. They knew that their families, when they claimed Christ as their Savior, would shun them and reject them and get rid of them and not want to have anything to do with them. And they realized that their brother, who was not a believer, would run away and never want to have anything to do with them. And the relationship that they once had with their brother would no longer be the same because they were following after Christ. These recipients knew rejection, and I'm sure we all know rejection as well. We know the types of relationships within our families, our own families, that are strained. Yet, even if you know rejection, even as they, through Jesus Christ, you will know great love and acceptance. Because He is not ashamed to call you His brother. He's not ashamed to call you His brother and His sister. He's not ashamed to call you His brethren because you have the same Father as He. And so though you, even though you can have Jesus Christ as your most holy and reverent older brother, what is this brotherhood for? It's so that you can know the kind of relationship that you can have with Him as your elder brother. My older brother, Daniel, I know some of you have met him as he's been here on a few occasions. Growing up, We did a lot of things together. He's an outdoors man. He's an Esau. I was a Jacob, I guess. He liked to go out and do things. He liked to go out and canoe the river. He liked to go out hunting. He liked to do all these things. I like to stay behind, read books, stay where it's warm and cozy. But my brother would convince me and sometimes force me to go out with him. And I treasure now the times that we went out together. I treasure that week that we went on the Susquehanna River and canoed, even in the rain. I treasure those times that we have, because the relationship that we have now is not like the relationship that we had. After all, there's hundreds of miles distance between us. It never will be. It can be closer, but it's never the same. And yet, Christ says He is not ashamed to call you His brother. And it shows that the type of relationship that you once had within your family, you can now have with your brother, your elder brother, Jesus Christ. And I say that with reverence, because sometimes people can say, well, he's my brother, and they don't really mean it, and they don't understand the ramifications and the importance of that. But it's the same thing as calling God our Father, and in doing it in a reverent and sensible way, we can call Christ our elder brother in a sensible and reverent way. And He is that. And He reveals to you by calling Himself our brother and calling you His brethren, He implies that He can have a relationship with you and you can have a close relationship with Him that you can't have in this world. You cannot have the same type of relationship with another human being that you can have with Christ. And we need to understand that as Christians. It's very hard for us sometimes to understand that, but we need to. We need to understand, as it says in Proverbs 18:24, that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says, what's mine is yours. We share the same brotherhood. A fifth thing that we share is that we share the same purpose as Jesus. We share the same purpose as Jesus. Look at verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. This is a quote from the Old Testament where Jesus is speaking, the Messiah is speaking. I, Jesus, will declare thy name, O Father, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. What is this purpose like? When you are a part of the family of God, you share a similar purpose as Jesus, the Son of God. In other words, your purpose becomes His. Your purpose is the purpose that He has for your life. What is His purpose? It says in this passage, to declare the name of the Lord and to sing praises to the Lord. That was His purpose while He was on earth. That was Jesus' purpose on earth, was to declare the Father's name to His brethren and to sing praises to His Father. That was His purpose, to lead us in that purpose as well. That is your purpose as well. We need to understand that to declare the name of the Father and to praise His name, you couldn't put it any simpler as far as our duties for the Lord. When you become a part of the family of God, Jesus says that the purpose that we must have for our life is the same purpose that He had when He was on earth living His life. It is to declare the name of God to others and to give praise to the Lord. That is our duty. That is our responsibility. But there's a sixth thing that we share in verse 13, and that is we share the same trust as Jesus. It says in verse 13, again, this is the Messiah speaking, quoting passages from the Old Testament. Jesus says, I will put my trust in Him, referring to the Father. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. What is this trust like? When you are a part of the family of God, you will share the same trust in God the Father. Jesus says, what's mine is yours. You see, Jesus lived a life of dependence upon His Father while He lived this life. He depended on His Heavenly Father for all of His needs. When He was in the wilderness and He was starving, basically, He relied upon the Lord for physical strength and sustenance. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out, as it were, great drops of blood in agony, it was His reliance and dependence upon God the Father to provide for His spiritual and emotional needs. We also must trust in our Heavenly Father to meet all of our needs. Because Christ did, we can share in His trust as well. Did Jesus' needs ever go unmet? No. And yours will not either if you're a part of the family of God. Just the other day, we got a letter from a friend of ours that Angie went to nursing school with. Her name is Rhonda Green. And actually, She is a nurse with a medical mission team in Micronesia. Actually, it's in Guam, but she ministers to Micronesian people. And I was thrilled to read how she praised God and declared His name because of how He provided for her. And she did it through a poem. And I want to read this poem, and you'll be able to understand a little bit about it. She must have had a lot of time on her hand to come up with this poem. It's pretty ingenious. She says this to those who were praying for her. "This week before Christmas, all without trouble, when out of my mouth a tooth did tumble, it happened to be a root canal and a crown. The root was still there, and it made me frown. A dentist said it must be an extraction, but for the cost of it, I had only a fraction. But the very next day, a letter arrived, as God did know. It contained enough money to pay for the whole. My immediate response was to praise the Lord. God has provided according to His word. God uses your prayers more than you realize, and for this I am thankful, and this I trust you recognize." We can share the same trust as Jesus. Did Jesus ever have His needs unmet? And if you're a part of the family of God, yours will not either. What is this trust for? The trust that we share with the Lord Jesus is to demonstrate how we ought to live our lives for the Lord. We ought to live our lives in full trust. One night in Brockton, Massachusetts, after a service where Dwight L. Moody preached, that great revivalist, and a young man stood to speak. It soon became clear that he knew very little about the Bible and its teachings, but this young man finished his speech by saying, "I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey." From this came our song, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When you become a part of the family of God, that is the way you and I need to live our lives, very simply. Trust and obey. Because we can share the same trust that Jesus had. Jesus says, "What's mine is yours," and we share that together. What we've seen in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, is what it means to be a part of the family of God. It means that you share something with Jesus, the Son of God. It means that you share the same relationship as He does, as sons and daughters of God. What a blessing! What a great privilege! I would not want to be considered a child of the King of England. I would much rather be considered a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a tremendous privilege! We share that relationship with Jesus. It means that you share with Jesus the same path that He has trod, the path of suffering that leads to glory. It means that you share with Jesus His same character, that holy character that sets you apart for the Lord's service, even as it set Him apart for the service of God. It means that you share with Jesus that same brotherhood, which reveals the kind of relationship, that close, intimate walk and relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ, your elder brother. It means that you share with Jesus the same purpose, which was to declare the name of the Lord and to praise Him in song. And it means that you share with Jesus the same trust. Trust and obey is what Jesus did. We can share that same trust today. Are you glad you're a part of the family of God? Have you been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood? Are you joint heirs with Jesus as you travel this sod? Are you part of the family? The family of God. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, I pray that we are part of the family of God this morning. And I pray also, Lord, that You'll help us as the family of God to understand that we share many wonderful things with our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask now that You'll teach us what it means to be a part of the family of God. And that if we are not living like we ought to as a part of that family, that You will sanctify us even as You have promised to. Thank You, Lord, that we're a part of the family of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.